And I'm back after about 2 months of absolutely no content. I decided, well, you know what? I have a couple other stories that I wrote that are based on true events, but made it in almost like a fictional sense. I'm sure there's a better term for that. But this one's called Day 6. I wrote, and it was wrote on March 31st. So keep that in mind when some of the coronavirus type content comes out, if it, you know, in case it's not as the most accurate as it can be, being that it was almost like a month ago it was written. So Day 6, a short story by me. Day 1. I'm starving, Mandy stated abruptly, interjecting into her friend Lacey's spiel on how she believes the current pandemic was caused by China. The mid-20s women are glamored up in oversized sweaters and high-waisted jeans so similar in fashion that either would point out how obvious it was. With the Ohio governor mandating that all non-essential businesses close down, both women suddenly just received a lot of free time without pay. Their first course of action? To meet at their favorite local coffee shop to discuss world affairs. Isn't this just bullshit? I'm telling you, Mandy, this is all going to blow over in a week, and we will find out that this was just all some scheme to enact some sort of army control over the country, Lacey stated, as she carefully placed her disposable coffee mug on the standing-only table. The fact that we are even here, out in public, is totally not right. I'm only here because you're paying the rent while the beauty shop is down, Mandy said as she glanced around the room and quickly locked eyes with a stranger whose table was not coincidentally placed 6 feet away from the girls. The tension in the room could be cut with a knife, as most customers quickly ordered their coffee and scurried back to their cars, which was often left running for a quick escape back home. This coffee shop, since it was selling the liquid drug of caffeine, remained open, deeming it essential. The chairs in the shop were stacked in the corner of the small local coffee shop, the size of a one-bedroom apartment. Daring customers such as Lacey and Amanda were forced to stand 6 feet apart to drink their morning routine. We are fighting an invisible enemy. We are at war, explained the governor on the TV that was hanging above one of the barista's beanie caps. Amanda directed a purposeful head tilt and glare at an oblivious Stacy adjusting her filter setting on her Quarantina Latte Instagram post. Day 2. Come on, just come with me. We need to get some food anyway. Plus, I need out of this house just for a little bit, begged Lacey to Amanda as they were both sitting on their sectional for the past 2 hours. Both women shared a house which they rented, conveniently, right next to the now vacant beauty shop. Lace, we have more than enough food as it is. You do know how much food we've stocked up with your couponing fetish. I get that. But it's like beans and rice. I want real food, like your favorite Slim Fast protein bars and my favorite booze. As Lacey shouted, booze, she jumped over Amanda and latched both arms around her torso, giving a hug that could only be described as a death grip. Besides, we will be right in and right out, super quick, said Lacey as she eased off the hug and gleamed puppy dog eyes towards a disapproving Mandy. Mandy softly pushed Lacey away and stood up. So much for social distancing. And why do you make me out to be the crazy one? Now that you want to spend a little bit of extra cash, we have saved up all on liquor. And plus, you know those protein bars are giving me gas. Like I said, April 1st, it's your account that rent is being paid out of, as promised. Mandy was demanding Lacey's full attention at this time, almost like a parent giving a lecture, even though Lacey had Mandy beat in age. Okay, this will be our only trip this week, and we can camp out at this house that you must love cleaning for the countless amount of times. Plus, I also said that you were paying me back next year when we buy those new hair dryers. Lacey flicked her hair off her shoulder and grabbed a long tan trench coat. Suit up, germaphobe soldier. We have white claws and milk to buy. Day 3. The sunlight shined in like a spotlight that illuminated the top of Mandy's nose. With a gentle shake of the head, Mandy rolled over to the edge of her king-sized bed. Two notifications gleamed on her phone. Mandy reaches out as far as she could to grab her phone from the nightstand. The stand was purposely positioned just far enough from the bed to motivate a lover of sleep to get up in the morning. Swiping up on the phone revealed that Lacey had an earlier morning start. The text read, "Hey mans, don't freak out that I'm gone. Just wanted to go see Graham and hang out with her for a bit. You know, how she gets so lonely and starts posting crazy stuff on Facebook. I just get worried. See you soon. Heart emoji." With a face that was almost the perfect depiction of what the actual crap, Mandy immediately rose from the bed with purpose. Since the text was sent 1 hour prior, the damage was done, she thought. Hopefully there was no damage, and Lacey didn't give her grandma the virus. But one could never be too careful. And Mandy, almost out of confirmation of thought, immediately Googled the incubation period of the virus. 2 to 14 days, estimate, the article stated. The word incubation alone brings forth images of colossal eggs incubating in a science lab from Jurassic Park. At least those monsters, you can see. Day 4. The first 3 days of self-quarantine were fun-filled nights of junk food and Netflix series. Now, the beauty shop owners were taking restrictions further. After Mandy made her gospel about how much of a selfish move visiting anyone during these times was to Lacey, the two haven't spoke since. What was once a large house became so small when attempting to avoid a co-occupant. Lacey never was one to talk things out and apologize. Perhaps that's why she had been hashtag single life for so long. If you asked her, though, it was because of her busy work schedule. Mandy would vouch for the former reasoning. This was the longest day in the house. News briefings could be heard on both sides of the home as the president inflicted more and more restrictions on the country. Small restaurants and coffee shops began to close after realizing that the takeout and delivery would not keep the lights on. The times were beginning to look bleak. The world outside the house started to dim. The girls' friendship followed suit. Day 5. A cat could be heard meowing and meowing and meowing and meowing. Okay, I hear you, I'm up. The skinny, frail body of Judy Meninsky scooted ever so carefully towards the edge of her bed. The 18-year-old frame then reached above her bed to grab onto the overhang trapeze assistive device in order to lift her upper torso erect. Once she grasped both ends of the overhang, she would then slowly move her hips until her feet were pointing towards the floor. Grit, determination, and a caring granddaughter is how Judy avoided assisted living this long. The house was empty and fairly large, but she did have a partner in crime. Baxter, the jet black cat, who knows his feeding schedules as much as any K-12 child. With loud, long-winded meows every morning, the annoying alarm clock got Judy moving each and every morning. 30 minutes later, of joints popping and persistent Baxter weaving between her legs, Judy made her way to her kitchenette. The one-bedroom apartment that her granddaughter Lacey pays for is just enough to spend her golden years. After peeling back a foul-smelling can of tuna for Baxter, Judy sat down carefully onto her wooden chair. As she sat, she watched the happy feline slurp up its breakfast. Judy could only admire the new spring curtains Lacey had just bought her 2 days ago. Visits from her granddaughter had been what she cherished the most. Even though Lacey was rough around the edges and as blunt as a baseball bat, Lacey was Judy's secret favorite grandchild. The rest of the grandchildren left Ohio shortly after college. Lacey decided to dig her roots deeper directly after high school, with a beauty shop admired by so many. Judy had almost earned the title of mascot, with her weekly manicures and bi-weekly hair appointments. The regulars at the shop loved Judy's wit and admired her willingness to check Lacey's ego. Almost suddenly, Judy felt short of breath, and a feeling of pressure built in her chest. The last time this happened, Judy earned herself a week-long stay in the hospital and came home with an oxygen tank. She was told to increase the oxygen liters to 4 to 5 liters of oxygen when she felt tightening of the chest. The frequent occurrence of chest pain was not foreign to Judy, but she felt different now, almost as if the air was being sucked from her lungs with a hose. She needed help. She needed help quick. Trying to keep calm, she rose from her chair and shuffled to her cell phone to the kitchen counter. 911, what is your emergency? Day 6. Yes, she's where? Tell me she's okay. Lacey was a mess, relying on short updates from stressed out hospital staff. Damn it, Mandy, I did this to her. But I don't have symptoms, I just can't. I must go see her, she needs me, Lacey said as in a panicked frenzy. All former arguments and resentments ended instantly as Mandy hugged Lacey. Mandy rocked Lacey in her arms and a calm voice stated, "We are all learning. Who knows why she's sick, but she's sick and needs the staff of the hospital now. Once she gets better, we will talk with her on the phone. We will get through this. We all will." Tears full of regret sprinkled down the shoulder of Mandy. I love you. Epilogue. Theoretically, this all could have been prevented, but here's the thing. The world does not exist in the theoretical sense, but only the absolute. Let's say, in this scenario, Lacey picked up the virus from the coffee shop and broke the rules and allowed small groups to socialize in a small setting. Lacey then brought the virus home. If Lacey and Mandy had just stayed at home, the virus would have most likely spread amongst the two of them. Young, in their mid-20s, the virus may have run its course and the survivability for the two would be high. The biggest life shift was when Lacey decided to visit her grandma and give her her spring curtains. This trip was unnecessary. Not all chains of connection are deadly during this pandemic, but it only takes one unnecessary act to alter someone's world. We all have someone who is labeled as a vulnerable person. A vulnerable person whose age or previous conditions put them at risk for a more potentially fatal reaction to the virus. Do yourself a favor and stay home, and only connect with people who live at your living situation normally. We are all in this together, and we all have an impact. May your impact save lives, not risk them.